Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm so thankful to be here at Way of Life. It is a blessing every single time that I get to spend some time here with you guys. It's always quick. It's always, everybody always asks me when I'm leaving, and you can always just bet that it's going to be tonight, that it's always after service. But I love the small amount of time that we get every time that we come into town. I'm thankful to be here with my wife today, and I'm thankful for my father, Pastor Shendall, allowing me to preach today, and my pastor in East Lansing, Brother Goth, you're allowing me to be here today. And I am so thankful for the men of God in my life that have believed in me to be able to deliver his word today. But I want to go into today's service. I feel like God has given me a word, and it's, I feel like a word not just, I know that this is back to school. This isn't just for youth. It is, I want the youth to get something out of this, but this is for every single person in this place today. If we would turn to Romans 10, 13 through 15. Romans 10, 13 through 15. Amen. Everyone, you're there, say amen. Amen. If not, it's going to be up on the screen behind me. Romans 10, 13 through 15. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe? And how shall they trust in him if they have not heard of him? And how can they hear of him unless someone tells them? And how can someone tell them if he is not sent?" The holy writings say, "The feet of those who bring the good news are beautiful." Proverbs 20 and 4 says, "The sluggard does not plow in the autumn." I'm gonna throw a word in there. If the sluggard does not plow in the autumn, he will seek at harvest and have nothing. And have nothing. Today I want to preach to us for a little while on there is gold in the river. There's gold in the river. Why don't we pray? God, I ask you to enter into this place. Let your anointing just fall in this place. God, give me the words to speak. Help me to be able to deliver your word precisely. And Lord, help me, Jesus, to be able to just be in tune with your spirit and with your word today. God, help us not only to hear your word today, but to apply it to our lives, Jesus. Lord, help us as we go before you and hear your word. Help us, Jesus, to just be willing vessels to be able to pour into today, God. Lord, I ask you to touch us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, "In Jesus' name." And you may be seated. In 1848, there was a man who owned a mill on the American River named John Sutter. You see, he had men who were working for him. He was a man already stepped into wealth. He decided, "I was going to build a mill on this river, and I was going to make some money." And he had some men working for him, one of which was about to change the course of not only his own life, but that of the entire Western America forever. You see, James Marshall was the carpenter that was in charge of the mill. He was testing the race, the channel that carries the water that drives the mill, and the water rushed through and all appeared to be working out fine. Everything seemed to be working like normal, but something in the mill caught the eye of Marshall. There was something in the stream bed. You see, peppered in with the rocks and the pebbles that was inside of the mill were these little shimmery objects. And then he bent down and he reached in and he grabs it and he cleans the mud off of it. And he sees that these are gleaming yellowish rocks and he cleans them off. And then he realizes what he had stumbled upon. You see, he realized in that moment that he had found gold in the river. You see, he then goes and informs John Sutter, who owned the mill, about what he had found, and they both rejoiced. They both understood what this meant for their lives. Yes, Sutter owned the mill, and he already had some money, but it was about to get much better. And then they rejoiced once they realized what they had, but word would soon spread. You see, to be able to clean off the gold, they had to get it boiled by someone who was in the camp, and someone realized what they were boiling. They weren't just going to be blindfolded the whole time, and realized what they had, and word passed from person to person to person, and soon people started coming from all around trying to find out for themselves and see if they could strike it rich by finding some gold. Thus began the California Gold Rush of 1849. And sadly, this is how we know the 49ers. And I know that we're in Dallas, so there's a little bit of history there. But I'm not talking about the football team, so don't get angry with me. But we're talking about the California Gold Rush. You see, history tells us that people who got the most rich from the gold rush were not the gold seekers. It wasn't even John Sutter, but it was the shop owners, and it was the ones who gave the people who were coming, the 49ers, shovels and pans and equipment that was needed for collecting the gold from the stream. Now, we might think, wouldn't John Sutter, the one who owned the mill, the one who the river was flowing through, wouldn't he be the one who was the richest out of all of this? But we see that one bit of old world technicality will make sure that that never happens. You see, James Marshall was able to keep the gold because he found it. And so did any other scavenger that came onto Sutter's mill and took the gold out of the river, even though it was on what he thought was his land. This is all due to the fact that in those days, it wasn't so simple as just owning the land. It wasn't just so simple as saying, well, I have a building on the land. You see, Sutter owned the mill, and technically, he doesn't own the land around it. No one does. California in those days wasn't even completely American. It was a totally gray area. You see, you had to claim the land to own it. This meant that you had to completely stake out every bit of land that you wanted to own, and then you had to defend it, and then you had to work it. You had to be actively working the land. You see, you can't make a claim and just put your feet up and hope everything works out. You can't just say, oh, this is mine, and then just hope that everything just kind of falls into place. But you have to work at it, and you have to defend it. Not only that, but you have to claim it and say, this is my land, and no one is taking what is on it. You see, John Sutter was the owner of the mill, but he didn't work on the mill. He owned it, and he hired people to oversee it. He built the building but decided to have someone else work it, and that's why he was kept from becoming infinitely wealthy with the gold that ended up in everyone else's pockets. You see, as the church, it's fine to just have our building. It's fine. You see, Sutter claimed the land by staking out what was his land, what was the mill. But he lost two important factors. You see, as the church, we can stake out the land, but it's nothing if we don't defend it. We can stake out the land, but it's nothing if we don't put in the work for it. You see, we can have everything marked out and say, this is our city. The way of life can say, Hearst is our city. We are gonna defend it, we are gonna fight for it, but if you decide to just put this building here and kick up your feet, you'll never see the revival that God wants to give to this church. You see, God's looking for a people who are saying, I'm not just going to own this land. I'm not just going to build something on it, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to go out and I'm going to work at it. I'm going to go out and reach my community. I'm going to go out and be friendly to those that I come in contact with. You see, he's looking for someone who says it's not enough just to exist, but I have to work at it. It's not enough just to live here, but I have to fight for it. You see, there are souls that are just waiting to be reached out to. But as the church, sometimes we allow ourselves to just kick our feet up and say, hey, look at us. Our building's so nice, and it is. This building is beautiful, but it's nothing if we don't fight for the land around it. You see, the mill that Sutter owned was nice, and it was doing a good job. It was working properly, but it was nothing if he wasn't willing to fight for the land. It was nothing if he wasn't willing to work on the land. You see, a lot of times in the church, we build sepulchers to our belief systems, and we build sepulchers to our religion, but then we don't do anything about it. We just hope that people see it and they come. Sometimes we feel like it's enough for people to pass along this highway and see Way of Life Church and just hope that they make their way in here. But as the church, it's not enough to just exist on the land. But when you go out into your workplace, you don't always have to go up into somebody and be like, hey, do you believe? Hey, do you know who God is? But maybe it's how are you doing today? How's life going for you? And you just start up conversation. You see, you may not realize it, but that's you working for the land. That's you working for the land. And you want to know how to defend the land? When you defend the land, when you defend this area, it takes those times when no one else is watching and you're down on your bedside and you're saying, God, Lord, put protection over Hearst and the surrounding areas. Put protection over my city. Put protection over my street. Put protection over my workplace. Put protection over my life and the people that I come in contact with. It's not enough just to exist, but we have to work at it and defend this land. You see, a lot of times we let the enemy come in and say, oh, well, that soul's mine. That street that you live on, that's mine. I know that you live there, but I'm gonna swoop in while you got your feet kicked up and you think you're looking all good. You think just dressing right and going and out in public and people seeing you is enough. I'm just saying, it's not enough just to hope that people walk up to you and say, hey, there's something different about you. It's not enough for people to see you and just be like, hey, that person looks different, but that person acts different. That person asks me how I'm doing. That person cares about my soul. If you see, the enemy knows that there are souls in this city. The enemy knows that there's gold in the river. And if we don't do something about it, if we don't fight for the lane that we exist on, then they're gonna do something about it. You see, In the gold rush, Sutter's Mill existed in California, but there were people coming from the East Coast. There were people coming from overseas because they knew there was gold. The enemy will do everything that they can to get at the people that you're just helping make their way in. The enemy will do everything that they can. People fought sickness. People fought traveling and lost loved ones on their way to California to get the gold. You see, the enemy will do the same thing. They will claw and scratch for the people around us, but if we don't defend them and if we don't fight for them, then we will lose them. Young people, when you go into your schools, and you're going very soon, if not already have, but when you go into your schools, it's going to take those times when no one else is watching and you're saying, God, help me, Jesus, to be able to reach my school. Help me to be a light to the people around me. God, help me to, hey, Lord, put protection around my school so that they can be saved, so that they can reach you, Jesus. Help them to be able to see me. You see, when you are going into your schools and you're reaching the lost, you are defending for what you believe in. You are defending the land that you exist on. See, sometimes we think we're safe. We're fine. There's still people in our church. There's still, you see, Sutter could have been like, oh, well, this gold, I have a little bit of gold, but it took getting down and working for it. The gold doesn't just walk into Sutter's Mill. You see, the gold was in the river. But if we aren't taking ownership of the call that God has for us as a church, as a people, then we are opening up the doors for anything that wants to get in. If we don't fight for it, if we don't believe in what we have, and we don't fight for what we have, then anything that wants to will get in. The moment that we think that we're doing enough, like we're satisfied with where we're at as a church, then we've missed it. If we get satisfied with oh, this is very pretty. Oh, you know what? I have enough space on my row. I'm fine with a few seats this way and a few seats that way till the next person. Then we've completely missed it. You see, it's not just about filling these pews, but it's about reaching the lost. It's not just about having a beautiful building, but it's about showing love to those around us. This isn't just... I want to get this straight. A lot of times we think that these sermons about reaching the lost and about going out into your city and doing something is just for those young zealous guys and those young zealous girls that are youth that are saying, you know what, I love God. That's not what it's about. He called every single one of us to be disciple makers. He called every single one of us to be disciples and disciple makers. You see, the disciples in Acts never went to people and said, You believe in God? I'm going to baptize you right now. But they went into people's houses and got to know them and got and became, you see in Acts 10, it's fine to have Acts 2:38. I'm taking some words from Brother Woodward, but he preached a great sermon about being mobilized and about what this is all about, what the church is all about. It's not just enough to hear Acts 2:38 and say, oh, I'm supposed to be baptized, repent, and I'm going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But we see in Acts 10 how they went into people's homes and they prayed for them and they reached them. They didn't say, hey, come with me to the local church, but they built relationships with people. You see, they were working the land around them. It wasn't enough for them to just have a church where they met once a week or twice a week, but they had to build relationships with people. And you know what came of that was the church. What came of building those relationships was the church. The church, the building, didn't come first. Relationships came first. And so it's not enough just to have the land and have the building, but we have to work it to own it. We have to defend it to own it. You see, there's gold in the river. It's just going to take someone who wants to work for it. Matthew 28:19, we love this scripture. Go and make disciples of all nations. That wasn't just for the disciples and the apostles, but it was for everyone. It was for all believers to go out and reach the lost, to go out and work the field. You see, the harvest is ready. It's been ready. It's been ready, but it takes someone who's going to go out and work for it. You see, there are souls out there who are hurting, people who are needing someone to show them the love of Jesus. And we have the answer. We have the answer for what they're looking for. We have the answer for what they're struggling with. We have the answer for what this world needs. But what good is it if we don't take ownership of it? I go back to our main scripture. It says, but how can they call on him if they've not put their trust in him? How can they put their trust in him if they've not heard of him? And how can they hear of him unless someone tells them? How are we expecting the people of this city, the lost people of this city that are hungry, that are longing for something and they don't know what it is? How are we expecting them to just stumble upon it? We have to go out and work for it. The Bible never said it was going to be easy. He said you're going to have to go out and work for it. You're going to fight. You're going to deal with some stuff. You're going to struggle. It's going to be difficult. You see, if John Sutter just fought for his land, then his gold would be his gold. You see, if we fight for our land, then this city, we are in the right. You're in the right place at the right time to be able to reach the people in this city. In the right place at the right time to reach the lost in this city, because there's so many people in this world who are looking for something. And we have the answer right here. James 4:17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. To him it is sin. You see, we were told to go out and reach all nations. But that's the information we've been given. But it's what you do with that information. It's what you do with when the Bible tells you, hey, I redeemed you, I saved you, I've given you salvation. When Jesus died on the cross, all sins were wiped away. That's great, but what happens if you don't do anything with that information and you just keep it to yourself? You see, as the church, we are called to go out and tell people about what God's done in our life. God is calling a people who are willing not just to keep the truth that we have for ourselves, but to go out to our places of work, to our schools, to the people that we're in contact with on a daily basis and show them what God has done in our life. You see, this grace that God has shown us wasn't meant for just us. It wasn't meant just for the people that happened to make it into service, the people that look right, the people that talk right, but it was meant for every single person. You see, when he died on the cross, he didn't just die on the cross for you and me, but he died on the cross for every single person afar off. I'm so thankful for the God who has done that for us. You see, he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to give us this redemption, this redeeming power that we have. But what happens if we just keep it to ourselves? You see, when the 49ers got over to California and they were looking for gold, They didn't just put the pan by the river and just say, all right, some gold's about to hop out of this river. It's going to be great. I can't wait. That's what I've heard. That gold just happens to hop its way into the pan. But no, you see, they get down on their knees and they get down and they get dirty. It's not clean. And they get their pan in the water and they start looking for gold. They start digging through the dirt. It may mostly come up dirt. There may not be much in the river at first, but there is gold in the river. It takes getting down on your knees sometimes and saying, God, I'm not gonna leave here until I come away with something. I'm not gonna leave here until I reach the lost. I'm not gonna leave here until there's protection over my family. I'm not gonna leave here until there's protection over my city. I'm not going to leave here until there's protection over my workplace. It takes work. It's not always easy. It's not always going to be the easy way out. You see, the gold's not just going to hop into the pan. People aren't just going to make their way into the church. That does happen sometimes. But if we only rely on God to bring people to the church, then we are disobeying the word of God when he said, go out and reach all nations. You see, it's fine to just hope that people make their way in here, but we have to go out and live this every single day, because if we don't, someone else will come in and swoop in and give them something else. They will. The enemy will fill the void with anything else that they're looking for. You see, someone's got to work the land. Someone's got to work the land. If our musicians would come. You see, we will lose the city. We will lose this area if we aren't willing to go out and work for it. It takes working at it. It takes getting down, getting dirty, and saying, God, I'm going to do anything that you ask of me to be able to reach the lost of this city. I know that there are people that you're thinking of right now. There are people in your workplace that you're thinking of right now that you come in contact with. Maybe you already have a friendship established. Maybe you already have something built between you and them. But God is asking you to just be a light to them. You don't even have to say, hey, do you want to get baptized? Do you want to receive the gift of the Holy? Because they may not even know what you're talking about. They may need just a relationship with someone. They may need just a conversation of every couple of days. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, how's life? Hey, what hobbies are you into? Because that's what we're really called to do, is build relationships. Is build relationships with people. And if we don't go out and work the land and reach the lost and reach the hungry and reach those that are longing for something greater, then who will? Then who will? You see, we're not just a building. This isn't just a monument to the Lord. This is a place where people can come in and they can you can equip yourself to go out and reach the lost. You can equip yourself to go out to the areas and fight for your land, fight for the people of the city and work the land. You see, young people, God can use you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you may feel, how unprepared you may feel. God still called you to go out and reach your schools, to reach the people in your family, to reach the people that need that relationship. You may just be playing basketball with them. You may be in the same club together at school. You may be in band together, but God is using you in those moments to be a light to these people. You see, you don't have to immediately go up to somebody and say, hey, have you been baptized? Have you been saved? But just be a friend. Just be a friend. That's all that working is. That's all that work in the land is just building relationships with people. And guess what? Those relationships, they start to then turn to spiritual conversations. And they then start to turn into people asking, hey, there is something special about you. I know that you don't really bring it up. You don't force it down my throat. But what is it about you? And that's when that gold starts to be able to be harvested. That's when that gold comes out of the river and you have something greater. You have something greater in that moment, a soul that is turning their way to the Lord. Just because you decided, hey, I'm going to live this, I'm going to work at this, and I'm going to defend it. God is calling for somebody to do that in this place. Why don't we stand? You see, how will they know unless they are taught? How will they know unless you go? How will they know unless they are reached? How will they know unless you go out and you work at it? You see, this city is longing for people who will go out and work the field, who will go out and work and reach the lost and reach those that are dying and lost and needing of something. God is asking us and begging us to become those disciples, to be able to reach those that are lost. Why don't we come to this altar right now, and why don't we just start praying for God to have his way in our life, to be able to reach the lost, to be able to reach those around us, to be able to work the field. It's not enough that we just exist here. It's not enough that we just come to church. It's not enough that I just sit on the same pew every single Sunday, but I have to be able to work for what I believe in. I have to be able to reach those who are around me. God is calling a people today who will fight for this land, who will fight for the people in this city. Why don't we do that today?